Good morning, everyone. It's certainly good to be with you today so that we can worship God together as we have been doing. At this time, we'll open our Bibles and engage in a study, a lesson from God's Word. So I invite you to have your Bibles open to read and follow along in some of the portions of Scripture that we'll be looking at today. And for the text, I want to use Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and in verse 5, on this occasion, the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you have faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Lord, increase our faith. What a prayer, what a request that was. We know that all during his earthly ministry, Jesus was seeking to cultivate faith in his followers. He wanted to plant the seed of faith, and he wanted to cause that faith to grow and to be nurtured and to bear fruit in good ways in the lives of those who heard him. He wanted to instill in people the ability to trust him more, no matter the circumstances. And sometimes there were challenging circumstances. There were challenges to their faith, you see. And so he taught them a lot of lessons that might be considered hard lessons. They were important lessons, but they were not always easy lessons. And sometimes his sermons were the kind that stepped on their toes and said, you know, you can grow, you can do better, because he knew that people need to learn, but he also knew that people do not learn faith just from a sermon or from a lecture. He knew that faith is learned in the laboratory of life. And he knew that faith is intended to be shared and experienced, and that's how faith is strengthened. That's how it's made stronger as we share an experience with brothers and sisters in the family of God. It's interesting that in this text, the apostle said to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." Now, let's think about that for a bit today for our lesson. And I think the first thing we ought to acknowledge and recognize is that this shows that they already had some. It was not a request to give us faith. It was a request to increase what we have. And so, on a number of levels, it reflects a commendable attitude on their part. A commendable attitude in that they were interested in having faith, and they were interested in having a greater faith, and that the fact that these men themselves felt the need for a greater faith shows a spirit of humility and meekness and dependence on the Lord and a readiness to submit to him as the teacher. All of these things are to their credit, you see, when we just think about the question itself and the way that it was presented, this request, you see, "Lord, increase our faith." But as we think about that request, I think that we're reminded that very often we see occasions where Jesus called attention to their little faith, or at least, if not that, he even went so far as to rebuke them. We see this a number of times in Matthew's gospel. For example, in Matthew chapter 6, we see that Jesus spoke in the Sermon on the Mount. He spoke about the importance of trusting in the Lord and not being anxious and worried about the necessities of life. And he says in verse 30, "And if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" He goes on to say to them, "Don't worry about what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear for clothing." And he sums it up by reminding them that they should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things would be added to them. It's a great and powerful lesson about trusting in the Lord, but he says to them that they demonstrated little faith when they worried too much about some of these things. And so sometimes it's the worry that challenges our faith. It's the anxiety about the necessities of life. And we're reminded that we ought to remember that God takes care of even the lowliest creatures in his creation. That's what Jesus talked about. Like the lilies of the field and the birds of the sky. He takes care of them. How much more he'll take care of his people. On another occasion in Matthew chapter 8, the disciples followed Jesus into a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and a great storm came on the sea. The boat was being covered with waves. Jesus was asleep in the boat. It wasn't worrying him too much that there was wind and waves and turbulence. But they came to him and woke him up and said, "Lord, save us, we're perishing." I don't know if that was a matter of exaggeration on their part or being overcome by all their fears. We don't have any way of knowing how great the tempest was. But Jesus said, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" And that's when, of course, he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it became perfectly calm. And then they were amazed that he had such power and control over even the winds and the sea. It's not just worry that challenges our faith. It's fear. We are afraid sometimes. The storms of life that tend to overwhelm us. The circumstances that we find ourselves in. They can cause us to be afraid. It's a natural human reaction sometimes. But the Bible teaches us in places like this that these ought to be seen as opportunities to develop character and, in fact, to increase our faith. And in Matthew chapter 14, here's another incident that takes place on the Sea of Galilee. And we see on this occasion that Peter demonstrates a tremendous amount of faith in the Lord when he decides to step out of a perfectly good boat and attempt to walk on the water of the sea. Some might accuse him of being a little bit crazy to try something like that. For him, it was really a demonstration of faith until the winds picked up and he became frightened and began to sink. And what had begun as a great demonstration of his faith and his trust and his confidence in God to tell him the Lord Jesus to take care of him, for a moment he doubted, the text says. He doubted. And so Jesus said to him that he was a person of little faith. You of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? He allowed his attention to be distracted from Jesus, from the source of his strength. And so many times, that's what happens to us. We doubt. We have moments of doubt because we are distracted by what's going on around us. And our attention is taken away momentarily from how we ought to have our trust and confidence in the Lord. And then there's an example from Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus had come across the sea, but it says that, and the disciples had come across the sea, and it says that they had forgotten to bring any bread. They were worried about, I guess, what they're going to have for lunch. Jesus said, though, he used it as an occasion to call attention to spiritual things, and says, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They began to discuss this among themselves and saying, well, he said that because we did not bring any bread. I mean, maybe they're feeling guilty now. Jesus, aware of this, said, you men of little faith, why did you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets full you picked up? Or do you not remember the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets full you picked up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? You see, they were sort of confused on multiple levels, weren't they? Partly because they failed to see the spiritual significance of what Jesus is trying to point them to, of the leaven, the evil leaven of those who lead the wrong kind of influence and the wrong kind of example, the leaven of the Pharisees through their example and their teaching. But maybe more fundamental than that is their focus on problems rather than solutions. They're worried about something that they ought to be fully confident in, that God will take care of, that Jesus will provide. And so he rebuked them for not having learned the lessons that he had given. You just see that over and over, don't you? This problem of little faith, and we know that because we're there. What those apostles demonstrated on these occasions are the kind of things that every single one of us here, you and I, we're all included, we have experienced times where our faith has not been what it ought to be. Whether it be from worry or from fear or from doubt or from the problems of life. And then all of this is like Peter said when he spoke of our faith as being more precious than gold that is tested and refined in the crucible of trials and tribulations. All of those things Peter says are intended to refine our faith and to make it stronger. And all of these kinds of challenges are intended ultimately to teach us lessons about our faith in the Lord. Maybe that's what we ought to remember the next time that we're dealing with some crisis in life. Because there are plenty of opportunities for us to think in the wrong way. And those are opportunities, there are times, there are learning moments for us to remember that we need to trust in God who cares for us, trust in God as the one who commands the storms, that he will see us safely through our storms. He always has, and he always will. So back to the text here in Luke's Gospel, the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. And the answer to that is interesting. It's an amazing answer that comes in verse 6. And he says to them, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, if you just had that much faith, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So as we said, this shows they had some faith. And Jesus, in his answer, actually confirms that. He confirms to them in their mind as they listen to him, he is saying, I understand that you have some faith here. You wouldn't have been asking such a question. In fact, it takes faith to ask the Lord, who is the source of our faith. They ask the right question and they ask the right person. But then he challenges them when he says, if you just had faith like a mustard seed. So what does he mean by that? Well, I think we understand the mustard seed. It's used in some other passages and teachings of Jesus. In one of his parables, he tells a parable of, compares the kingdom of, and the great growth of the kingdom to a small mustard seed that grows into a great tree. But here the idea is, the idea that the mustard seed represents something very small, that possesses potential of becoming something great. It contains the germ of life, this little tiny seed. And when it germinates, it grows into a tree. It's great potential. And Jesus uses this here to say to them, to describe the potential of the faith that they have. And to motivate us to greater faith. That's the answer to their question. Increase our faith. It's almost as if he's saying, you have it. Put it to work. That's how you'll increase your faith. Even a little faith, he says, is powerful enough to uproot a mulberry tree. In some sense. In other places, he used the same kind of statement to talk about faith enough to move a mountain. What's his point? You know, whether we're talking about mountains or mulberry trees, the point seems to be that even the smallest faith is something by which we can accomplish what may seem to us at times to be impossible. But I want you to understand, listen to me, that whatever God has called us to do, faith can get us through that. There's nothing impossible with God. And there's nothing impossible for us when it comes to the things that God has called us to do in our lives. You see, it's not so much about the amount or quantity of faith that's at stake here. It is about the quality of faith. What kind of faith do we have? And there's a lesson, it points our minds to an important lesson that's found all through the Word of God, and that is faith growth, that is the growth of faith is realized when we follow through in the practical application of faith, when we put it to work. When we follow through doing what we have learned that God would have us to do in life, that's putting faith to work. Put into action the faith that we already have, even if it's small. We all have to start somewhere. And when we do, then it will grow. This is the lesson that James teaches in James chapter 2. We're familiar with that passage where he says that faith without works is what? It's dead. But it's not dead because it's faith. It's dead because it's dormant. It's not acting. It's not working. He says in James 2:22 that faith is perfected by work. Perfected means that it's brought to maturity. It's brought to a greater degree of completeness through works. Like the life in the seed, faith is not fully matured until it flowers in its appropriate works. We make a mistake if we think of faith as just a sterile, static kind of thing. No, faith is a living force, and it will be when we put it to work, when we act on faith. Through living it out, through action, through obedience, faith is brought to greater maturity, and that's how we can increase our faith. In a little while, we're going to study again from 2 Peter 1, where Peter talked about all the things that we are called upon to add to what? To add to your faith. To illustrate the point that we're talking about today. To add to your faith. Virtue and knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And listen to me. This is what the growth and the increase of faith looks like. That's what it looks like when we add those things. Or when we turn to Paul's passage in Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. When we walk by the Spirit. That's what the increase of faith looks like. It bears fruit. The seed bears fruit when we act upon it. And there are so many other examples of that, you see. We understand that principle, don't we? But I want to call attention to one more important principle here. And that is to increase faith, we need to look to the author and perfecter of faith. These were men who were learning by sitting at the feet of Jesus, and they were being trained for a great mission that they were to carry out, learning from the Master, learning from Him. In Hebrews chapter 12, again, we remember that after that long chapter in which the writer discusses faith, and he says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen, the assurance of things not seen. And he offers all of these examples from Scripture. Examples of men and women of old who walked by faith, who lived their faith, who acted, who obeyed by faith. Abraham, Moses, and all of these great people of old. What was it about their faith, you see? He says that by faith they trusted in God's promises and they acted. And so God was going to bless them. And so after all of that, we come to chapter 12, and here's what he says. He says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, that is all of those that he has talked about here, it's like being in a race and in a stadium, and you're surrounded by the crowds that are cheering you on. But who are they? They're all these people of faith. That's kind of the impression I get from reading this. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Said, Lord, increase our faith. And for us to increase our faith, ultimately we look to Jesus. We look to the one who is described as the author and the perfecter of faith. That is, to put it in different words, he is the author and the finisher of faith. How so? Because he himself, he's the first one who finished the course of faith all the way to heaven itself. He showed his own faith. He showed us the way. It was his example of endurance, his example of ultimate victory, enthroned at the right hand of God. And so we're called upon to keep running the race set before us. In fact, in chapter 5, Hebrews, there he puts it this way. He says that though he was a son, that is Jesus, though he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the author of eternal salvation, the source of eternal salvation. He showed us how it's done. He showed us what it means to have faith that's greater and greater and greater and obey God all the way to the end of life. And so we just need to keep running the race set before us. That's what we do. That's the answer to the need for an increase of faith. And it includes things like being constant in prayer, doesn't it? Be constant in prayer, just as these apostles, these disciples of Jesus who were so close to him during his time here on earth, they had asked him for help. Lord, increase our faith. You and I can do the same thing. We can go to him and ask for help. James chapter 1 talks about this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He goes, talked about that. And involved in that is an increase of faith then that we can ask of him, and he will give us what we have asked. And he says he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Philippians 4 verse 6. That's how we increase our faith. Keep going to God and asking for help. But it's also a matter of building on the foundation that we already have. Remember, these disciples already had faith, and they're asking for an increase in faith. Well, that's true for us, of all of us. Every single one of us who is a Christian, who has come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we came to Him on the basis of faith. That's what we did. We came on the basis of faith. And when we were baptized for the remission of sins based upon our confession of our faith from a penitent heart, it was because of faith. That's where it all started. What's the foundation of that? Things like the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of truth. Romans 10:17. You know that. Remember that we're standing on the promises of God. That He has made these great promises, and we have all of the manifestations of God's power. We think about the creation. We can read about it in Scripture, and we can observe it around about us. Evidence of the power of God. We read about the miraculous signs, the wonders and miracles, things that Jesus did in His ministry, and we're reminded of the power of God, and it strengthens our faith. And most of all, when we think of His resurrection on the third day, raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of God, so that we, in the likeness of His death and resurrection, can be raised from the death of sin to a new life. We should think of that often. Build on the foundation. The foundations are there. The faith is there. Let us build. Let us build. And I think that includes just leaning on one another, leaning on our brethren. This is also from Hebrews. I want to read something in Hebrews chapter 10. And in this great concluding section here in chapter 10, he says this. I just want to read several verses here, starting in verse 19. And let's follow, let's just track it through what he says. Listen. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He inaugurated for us through the veil that is His flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. And having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You see the picture there? We build on the foundation. And thus we grow in faith. And that includes our relationship one with another, as we have in this family. Draw near to God in faith. Cling to your hope. Find strength and encouragement from one another. In other words, we just need to live our faith. That's how we increase our faith, is live it. Do what we know. Let's don't compare ourselves to other people. Let's look to Jesus. Him alone. He alone is our example. He alone is our teacher. He is the author and perfecter of faith. So we live our faith. And each day that we live our faith, we are increasing in faith. We're growing closer to Him and closer to our final goal. I pray that the Lord will increase my faith. I have to pray for that. I cannot do it without Him. And I pray that the Lord will increase yours. And I pray that together we'll continue to walk by faith. We'll keep running the race. That we'll keep pressing on toward the goal. Because all of that's what Jesus wants for us. That's why He gave Himself. We're going to have an invitation song in a moment. And we just talked about faith today. And when we think about salvation, we think about the invitation of the Lord as He invites us to come to Him. It's all about faith. Salvation can be ours, and it is ours by grace through faith. When we act upon our faith in obedience to Him. Lord, increase our faith. Shall we stand as we sing?
Oh, Jesus, Lord.